The Supreme Court is deliberating whether to forbid race considerations in university admissions. The court heard arguments in two test cases brought by white applicants who assert they were the victims of unconstitutional racial preferences at the University of Michigan. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
At the end of a two-hour argument yesterday, the court seemed evenly split, with Justice Sandra Day O'Connor almost certainly the decisive fifth vote. Early in the argument, O'Connor seemed to signal that, in her view, race can be one of many factors a university may use in choosing among qualified applicants. After all, she told the white student's lawyer, Kirk Kobo, there are always many more qualified applicants than there are slots.
Inherent in that setting is making choices about what students to admit. So there are many reasons why a particular student would be admitted or not. And a lot of factors go into it.
Well, Your Honor, first of all, race is impermissible because of the constitutional command of equality. The university is certainly free to make many different kinds of choices in selecting students.
O'Connor, however, seemed concerned that there is no fixed end to the university's program, as there has been in other race-conscious programs the court has allowed. As she put it, where does it end? O'Connor held her views pretty close to the vest. Others, though, did not. Justice Scalia ruthlessly picked apart the university's contention that to have meaningful diversity, it must admit what it calls a critical mass of minorities. Here is Scalia questioning the university's Maureen Mahoney.
Is 2% a critical mass, Ms. Mahoney?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
Okay. 4%?
No, Your Honor.
Have to pick some number, don't
well,
you?
Well, actually, what
like
the...
Like 8 is 8%?
Your Honor, the...
Now, does it stop being a quota because it's somewhere between 8 and 12, but it is a quota if it's 10? I don't understand that reasoning. Once
Your
you
Honor,
use the term critical mass, and you're into quota land.
Your Honor, what a quota is under this court's cases is a fixed number. And there is no fixed number here. The testimony was that it depends on the characteristics of the applicant pool.
The eventual outcome of the Michigan cases will affect far more than college and university admissions. As Justice Ginsburg noted in questioning the white student's lawyer, if they win, it will mean an end to voluntary affirmative action in employment, too.
The employer says, I don't want to confess to having been a past discriminator, but I'm willing to engage in this voluntary affirmative action. I take it that that would be impermissible if we adopt your view.
The use of race to achieve non-remedial objectives, I think, would have problems, Your Honor.
Several justices referred to a brief filed by the former chiefs of the military academies, noting that the academies use affirmative action and consider it essential in assuring that the military does not revert to the problems of the Vietnam era, when an almost all-white officer corps commanded an enlisted force that was more than a quarter minorities. Justice Breyer, summarizing the argument for affirmative action, said, "We are 280 million people. We have an enormously diverse population, and we think from the point of view of business, the armed forces, law, etc., there is an extraordinary need for diverse leaders."
Without it, the country will be much worse off. That's what we're being told. In fact, the country might not function well at all. And we have to train those people. We have to.
And a mere social benefit simply doesn't rise to the level of compelling interest.
The only compelling interest recognized by the Constitution, lawyer Kobo suggested, the only time race may be considered is in correcting intentional past discrimination. He said racial preferences are otherwise not permissible, even when beneficial to society, because they injure the rights of innocent people and because the Constitution guarantees equal treatment without regard to race. Representing the Justice Department, Solicitor General Ted Olson abandoned the cautious brief he'd filed on behalf of the Bush administration and instead made an impassioned plea against affirmative action. In particular, he told the court that Michigan's undergraduate affirmative action system, which allocates 20 bonus points to minority applicants, is nothing more than a quota system. Justices Ginsburg and Souter objected that race was not the only 20-point-plus factor.
Socioeconomic status also had 20 points.
Yes, Justice Ginsburg.
And athletics, too, I think.
Yes.
Still, when all is said and done, argued Olson, the 20-point bonus for race amounts to an admissions ticket, while points given for other plus factors do not similarly guarantee admission. John Payton, representing the university, conceded that at the undergraduate level, almost all qualified minorities are admitted. That, he said, is because Michigan is 79% white and the pool of qualified minority applicants is relatively small. At Michigan, he said, having a diverse student body is particularly necessary.
Michigan's a very segregated state. Detroit is overwhelmingly black. Its suburbs and the rest of the state are overwhelmingly white. The university's entering students come from these settings and have rarely had experiences across racial or ethnic lines.
That, said Payton, is true for white students and blacks. The result, he said, is that these students come to college with stereotyped views about each other, having had no experience with each other. And by being thrown together in significant numbers, they learn to work, live, and understand each other. In order for the system to work, he argued, there must be a critical mass of minority students, enough so that they are not tokens, can express themselves freely, and are present in sufficient numbers in classes, dorms, etc. But critical mass had an uphill battle with four justices. Justice Kennedy.
I have to say that in looking at your program, it looks to me like this is just a disguised quota.
Justice Scalia suggested that if diversity is so important, there are other solutions besides racial preferences.
If this value of having everybody in a mix with people of other races is so significant to you, just lower your qualifications.
It is standards. That significant
you don't have to be,
us, but I think
you don't
that,
have to be the great college you are.
I think we get to decide what our mission is. I think the Constitution gives us some leeway in deciding what our mission is and how we define ourselves.
And anything that
said Payton, to choose between diversity and high standards would be, as he put it, a Hobbesian choice. Justice Thomas pressed him to make that choice nonetheless.
Now, I know you don't want to make the choice, but will you at least acknowledge that there's a tension?
Payton would not. Lowering standards, he maintained, does not mean there is a more diverse student body.
The fact that a school does not have selectivity doesn't mean that the community college, in fact, is diverse.
A decision in the affirmative action cases is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
There's audio of yesterday's deliberations at npr.org.